is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
And Kathy Dawes, along with Marty Veneer and NBAF Director of Partnership Development, and all kinds of things to talk about today. We do want to mention the phone numbers, though. People want to enter into this discussion, 537-1350, toll-free 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. And we were just comparing notes this morning. There are actually two rather large events going on this morning at the same time. I know I plan to sit in on the Committee on Science, Space, and Technology out of Washington, D.C. I know Stephen Higgs with BRI will be testifying at that particular hearing. And now you tell me there's something else going on at the same time this morning, too.
There's always something else going on. There's also a session put on by the Blue Ribbon Study Panel on Biodefense. And folks may recall they were here in January for a day and a half event to talk about the importance of agriculture to biodefense and the importance of agriculture as an infrastructure in this country. So they've released their report on agriculture. It came out in October, but today they're having a session that's actually going on right about now, starting right about now, that's talking about how to implement the recommendations that they've made, not only for agriculture, but for biodefense generally.
And be curious to hear some. It's too bad you're not on tomorrow. We could recap both of them, or at least we'd have some idea what went on. Hard to be two places at once and stream both at the same time.
That's right.
So a very busy day. This really does show the attention nationally that we're getting right here in Manhattan, Kansas. And obviously in your role with NBAF, I mean, it's busy times.
It is very busy time. You know, we could make every one of these chats about construction, but that would get boring after a while. But the thing is, not only are we building a building, but we're engaging in all of these other sort of policy discussions, philosophical discussions about what should we be doing, what can we do, what can't we do. Who needs to be a part of all of these plans? So yes, we've got the biodefense panel conversation going on. We've got the hearing in Congress going on where Dr. Higgs is testifying. We've also got a lot of international engagements. There's an event going on right now in Canada where NBAF is being represented, unfortunately not by me, but we've got some really great people from Washington who are there representing the NBAF program, and all of that's going on right now.
And as you mentioned, international engagement is huge, too. I think that's what you really had planned to focus a lot of our discussion on today, and I'll be curious to hear some of the things that are happening that way. So many times we talk about what's going on right here in the Manhattan area, or maybe even nationally, but we're talking about international efforts here.
We are. There is a group called OIE, and if you imagine me speaking in a French accent, it stands for the Office of International Epizootics. That is an organization that's been around since the 20s, and they are an international organization that tracks a variety of transboundary animal diseases. Diseases that are very high consequence, many of them are diseases that we're concerned about here in the U.S. They're meeting in Canada right now, and they have invited a variety of their members and stakeholders to this meeting. So NBAF is there with a poster to engage all of these OIE members, along with a couple of other programs from DHS. The Food and Agriculture Defense Office has some posters talking about some projects that they've done. Along with that meeting, there is an organization, sort of smaller, I won't call it more local because it's also an international organization, that's called the BSL4ZNet organization. We are a member of that organization. It's made up of biosafety level 4 laboratories in Australia, Canada, Germany, the United Kingdom, and the United States. Now, it's important because The Z in ZNet means zoonotic. And if you recall the data point that most emerging diseases are zoonotic, meaning that they are diseases that circulate in the animal population and then somehow jump to the human population, you can see where we need to be interacting, not just those of us who are concerned with animal disease research, but folks who are working in human disease research. And so we come together in the BSL for ZNet. And there are a variety of working groups as a part of that organization, and I'm on a couple of those working groups. Other folks from the Department of Agriculture, Centers for Disease Control, and other DHS personnel, we cover, in essence, all of the working groups in ZNet, along with our international partners.
So very interesting there, too. And I know it's interesting. We have Jürgen Richt on quite often, too, as one of our featured guests. And I know he was talking about some issues with, and I'm trying to remember exactly what it's called. I think it had to do with pork, and it was out of Africa, was gradually moving into Asia, on into China. And he's been pretty involved with trying to figure out what that's all about. So.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's African swine fever.
Thank you. I was going to say swine fever, but I was afraid, yes, that would be correct. So that definitely is something. And I don't know if that would be something you would work on or your folks would work on too, or specifically some of those different areas.
It's on the proposed list for NBAF. So, okay. Yes, that will be one of the transitional research projects.
And maybe some others. I mean, as you're talking about the international engagement and we're talking about diseases globally, you know, just maybe some things that are at the forefront that way.
Well, I don't want to alarm anyone, but the poster child probably would be Ebola. And in fact, BSL-4 ZNet was formed toward the end of the Ebola outbreak a couple of years ago, because we recognize that there are a lot of things we don't know. It has an animal reservoir. We're not sure which particular animal. We have some ideas, but we don't know for sure. And we know that there are outbreaks among humans, that there's some pressure that's created that the virus will jump from the animal reservoir to humans. Part of the mystery is, if we don't know what the animal reservoir is, we don't really know how to break that chain of transmission. But the other thing for folks to understand is that there, despite the headlines with Ebola in humans, there are several different strains of Ebola. Some of those strains do not cause disease in humans. There are strains of Ebola that only show up in animal populations. So if we can discover and research what's happening in those animal populations, then that helps to inform and give us information about some of the other strains that may not restrict themselves to just the animal population. That's the sort of work that these groups, whether it's OIE, whether it's BSL-4 ZNet, these are the sorts of things that we all talk about, because if we can understand it in the animal population, then we can understand more about it in the human population.
And I don't know if it's just because we as members of the public are becoming more aware. It just seems like we continue to hear a lot more about some of these different issues. And, you know, I don't even know if this is another one, but the bacterial infection that Petland was involved with, Campylobacter, I think.
Campylobacter,
we actually had the Pottawatomie County Health Department director talked about it Monday. And while nothing's shown up yet, I think there have been 8 cases in Kansas. Is that another one that can kind of jump?
Yes,
a concern.
Yeah, Campylobacter jumps. There are lots and lots and lots of viruses and bacteria that jump. It's a lot of it is what are the impacts when it jumps to humans. Some of them cause a flu-like illness. Some of them can be quite dangerous. You know, E. coli jumps, brucellosis jumps, Campylobacter jumps, Salmonella jumps. All of those bacteria exist in the animal population too. So any foodborne disease illness, those bacteria come from the environment. Sometimes they come from animals, sometimes they come from plants. They're in the environment. So it's a matter of degree. Some of them we worry far more about than others.
I'm sure it would be difficult to prioritize because as we're talking about the zoonotic, that's always fair. But when you talk about just the food supply itself, even if it just stays with animals, I mean, there's so many repercussions. Mm-hmm. How do you prioritize? And I'm sure that's part of the role of what the folks will be doing at NBATH.
Well, a lot of it has to do with consequences and not to belittle quote, normal foodborne disease outbreak, because those can be quite devastating and people can be quite sick. There is a matter of degree difference in that versus something like rabies or something like, you know, FMD in the animal population. FMD is not going to be a consideration for humans. It doesn't cause disease in humans. So that's strictly an animal pathogen, but because of the impacts that it has on the agriculture community, the consequence level there is higher than the consequence level of a salmonella outbreak or a campylobacter outbreak or an E. coli outbreak. And I know there are people out there who've probably been victims of those types of foodborne diseases, and not to diminish what they went through at all, but we do have to prioritize, and there are lots of people working on those diseases and working in that field. It's just that the NBATH field has defined itself with high consequence livestock and livestock zoonotic agents. So that's the niche that we've picked out for ourselves, not to say that nothing else is important.
Very good. Let's go ahead and take a break. It is about 9:18 now. And again, we have with us NBATH Director of Partnership Development, Marty Vanier. And if you do have questions or comments today, feel free to call in 537-1350, toll free 866-776-1350. You're listening to In Focus.